Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, oh, our dear Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, we love you because you loved us first. Thank you, Lord, that because of your love, you gave up yourself for us in order to gain us to be your bride. Lord, we tell you that we love you. We love you now more than last year, more than yesterday. Oh, Lord, you are our best love. We love you. We give you the first place in our heart. We desire to be fully joined with you. We are nothing, yet you are everything to us. We thank you, Lord, that we would tell you that we love your coming. We earnestly expect your coming to deal with all the problems in this world, to satisfy the longing in our hearts. Lord, appear to us this evening. We want to have a foretaste of your appearing, not just appearing to your church, but appearing through your church. Bless the meeting this evening. Bless the year 2023. May we go on aggressively to run the race. Thank the Lord. First, I want to congratulate all of us that the Lord has brought us to the year 2023. Aren't you joyful for this? For 2023? The day of the Lord's coming is closer by 1 year. The day of our redemption is closer by 1 year. The day for the judgment of the world is closer by 1 year. And of course, the day for the completion of the adorning, the preparations of bride, is a year closer. Dear brothers and sisters, we are those so full of hope because we know that our life on this earth is not for ourselves. It's not for any welfare or blessing. Rather, it is for the Lord's coming. It is for his coming to receive us as his bride. So year after year, our human life becomes more hopeful. Year after year, our running of the race should be more and more aggressive. May the Lord bless all of us in this meeting, either in person or online. May we review our vision in this year so that we will run the race together. We mentioned that the year 2023 means that the day of the Lord's coming is closer by 1 year. Thank the Lord. Even though the world situation, the environment of this globe is becoming more and more difficult, yet it is just a reminder to us that he comes quickly. So all the factors of our surroundings would not frustrate us, disappoint us. Rather, our eyes should be focused on the coming Lord so that our heart would be heavenward. How about this? In our seeking before the Lord as the beginning of the seven feasts this year, the Lord will unveil to us afresh His coming. He will attract us, draw us even more to run after Him. How about if we read the general subject together with a loud voice and released spirit? Making ourselves ready for the Lord's coming. Let us read again with a released spirit. Making ourselves ready for the Lord's coming. This means that we have this prayer that the Lord would cause us to make ourselves ready for His coming. As we are expecting earnestly His coming, we know that His coming is an ecstasy to us. It's such a joyful day to us. His coming is also a warning. We know that for His coming, we need to be prepared. We need to make ourselves ready. So the conference this time, through the five messages, the Lord will speak to us to show us how to make ourselves ready for His coming. Brothers and sisters, are you ready? Be prepared for the Lord's coming. May we open ourselves to the Lord this evening. May we be ready. Lord, teach me how to make myself ready. These five messages will show us the five aspects of preparation that we should have. I would say that the first message gives us a very important basis. In order to make ourselves ready for the Lord's coming, the most important matter is loving Him. To love the Lord's appearing. Brothers and sisters, do you love Him? Your amen is too soft. Do you love Him? Do you love His coming? Do you love His parousia? Do you love His presence? Do you love His appearing? I do. As I tell the Lord, oh Lord, every day I do love Your coming. I do have this longing for Your appearing. Yet the Lord says, yes, Your loving of My coming, this love is cold, is not a hot love, a fervent love. You are expecting My coming, yet your expecting is cold. I did repent to the Lord as the Lord showed me my situation. Lord, forgive me. Draw me so that once more again I will see the glory, the preciousness of Your coming, so that a fervent love, a hot love for Your coming would arise in me. Let us read together Roman numeral 1. Message 1, the title, making ourselves ready for the Lord's coming by loving His appearing and not loving the present age. One matter that we need to practice, and this message shows us that in order to make ourselves ready for the Lord's coming, we need to love His appearing. And you have the contrast here, which is not loving the present age. Let us say this together. Loving His appearing, but not loving the present age. Let us speak this one to another. Loving His appearing and not loving the present age. At the subject I love His appearing and I do not love the present age. The main scriptural reference for this message would be 2 Timothy chapter 4 verses 8 and 10. Right before Paul's martyrdom, he had the deep conviction that there would be the crown of righteousness being laid up for him. Then he continued to say, this crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will recompense him in that day. He continues to say, and not only me, but also all those who have loved His appearing. As we read about the Apostle Paul having the crown of righteousness, we do believe this is true. But if there is no second part of the verse, we would be disappointed. I don't have the assurance that I can run the course and keep the faith. But Paul says that this crown of righteousness is not just for Paul, but for all those who have loved His appearing. Don't you hope that when the Lord comes, you will have the crown of righteousness? You just need to love Him and love His appearing. On the other hand, you have verse 10 in which Paul found that his dear co-worker Demas, because of another love, having loved the present age, had abandoned Paul and had gone to Thessalonica. So in these two verses, verse 8 and verse 10, you see a contrast. For us to be prepared for the Lord's coming, we need to learn of Paul and not to learn of Demas. We need to learn of Paul to do what? To love the Lord's appearing. Do not learn of Demas. Do not love the present age. Okay, Roman numeral 1. If the Lord's second coming is precious to us, we will love His appearing. We all know that the Lord's coming, the word, the Greek word for coming is parousia, which means presence. The Lord's coming is His presence with us. Even though in our spirit, we do have the Lord's presence, yet we are looking at our Lord as through glass, through a mirror. What we long for is His full presence in the eternal union with Him. The Lord's coming, if we treasure His coming, we will love His appearing. Brothers and sisters, this is my prayer today. Lord, Not only do I love your appearing in the future, I do desire that you will appear to me today. Even in this meeting, if I don't have your appearing, the meeting is meaningless. What we desire for this meeting is the Lord's appearing. Point A, loving the Lord's appearing and loving the Lord himself are inseparable. Here, I would dwell upon this point for a while. We all know that in the universe, there is God. This God is the God of love, light, holiness, and righteousness. This God has his eternal economy. And Christ, as the center of God's economy, and the universality of God's economy. This economy is toward us, yet the centrality and universality of this economy is Christ. We know that this Christ, as the centrality and universality of God's economy, is the entire history of God's economy. In this history of God's economy, we know from the past crystallization study training that the entire divine history has two high peaks. These two peaks are Christ's first coming and his second coming. Thank the Lord. Christ has come. His first coming is to accomplish redemption. In his first coming, he passed through all the processes. This embodiment of the triune God became the life-giving spirit in resurrection and breathed himself, dispensed himself into thousands and thousands of his believers. In order to produce the church as the body of Christ, and his second coming is altogether the desire and longing of all those who belong to him. Because his second coming will deal with all the problems in the universe. Today, we live on this earth. We encounter problems everywhere. And all of these problems cannot be solved. Even all the international conflicts. After the First World War, you have the League of Nations. Second World War, you have the United Nations. To deal with the problems, the conflict among the nations, that the more man tried to deal with the problem, the more problems arise. Because the real solution is Christ. Christ, in his second coming, will deal with all the problems. Brothers and sisters, rejoice! Whenever I think about this, I'm so joyful. Isn't that right? He will judge this dark world. He will judge religion. He will judge the false believers. When he comes, he will save the nation of Israel. When he comes, he will redeem all of us. And he will revive the nations. And the most joyful thing among all is that he will come to receive us as his bride, to marry us his bride. So, we can say that we have all been betrothed, engaged. We belong to someone. So we should not look at anyone else that we want. We can only look unto him. The Lord is so attractive to me since the year 1970 when I was deeply touched by the Lord in my spirit. The whole world began to fade away. The Lord himself and his economy has become the unique goal for all my pursuits in life. Brothers and sisters, don't you have the same experience? And all of this is pointing to his second coming. When he comes, all the problems will be solved. When he comes, we will see him face to face. When he comes, we will see him in his full splendor. And we will be received into his presence. And we will marry him and become his bride. Brothers and sisters, don't you want to always pray this prayer? Come, Lord Jesus, you are our bridegroom. We are your love. We desire your coming. Concerning the Lord's coming, I am very much burdened to share with you a few portions of the word. First, in Watchman Nee's biography, The Seer of the Divine Revelation in the Present Age, Sister M.E. Barber was mentioned. We know that she helped and edified Brother Nee to become his dispensational instrument. Sister M.E. Barber was one who was daily awaiting the Lord's coming to such an extent that on the last day of a year, she was taking a walk with Brother Nee, and as they turned the corner, she said, maybe we'll meet him as we turn around the corner. She was awaiting the Lord's coming fervently. Her living and work were all together on the Lord's coming. In the other book, the up-to-date presentation of the God-ordained way and signs of the coming of Christ, we have a message on our attitude to love, to wait, and to exhort one another. Since we know that the Lord's coming is so precious, we should love his appearing. The Bible concludes with the prayer, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus. From the New Testament record, we can easily find out that all the apostles were very certain that the Lord will come quickly, and they live a life of preparing for the Lord's coming. In church history, Sister M.E. Barber was one who lived such a living. In 1925, the last day of the year, in her prayer with Brother Nee, she prayed, will you allow the year 1925 to just pass away? do you really want to wait until 1926 to come again? Yet on the last day of this year, I still pray that you will come today. Soon afterwards, Brother Ni met her on the street. And she said, it's quite strange that he hasn't come today. Brothers and sisters, this is our pattern. I do believe that Sister Barbara, she knew the truth. She knew of the signs of the Lord's coming. At that time, even the nation of Israel was not restored. So, she should know that the Lord would not come at that time. Yet, to one who loves the Lord and His coming, she transcends the time. If the Lord allows, I will read to you again this hymn that we just sung, English 960. On the one hand, they know about the truth. They know about a definite timing of the Lord's coming, but in their earnest expectation, in this earnest expectation of all the lovers of the Lord throughout the centuries, the Lord's coming is a matter that transcends the element of time. They are just desiring the Lord's coming every single day. Don't think that if we are clear about the signs of the Lord's coming, we can just love the world for some time and begin to pursue the Lord during the last 7 years of the age. We should believe that the Lord is fearsome. In Luke 12, there is this parable of the rich man who planned to store up his treasures. Yet the Lord says that he is such a foolish one because the Lord will claim his soul that evening. So as soon as we live, as soon as we have the breath, we should love the Lord and his appearing and await his coming earnestly and to exhort one another concerning this. How about this? Brother Ni had a message in book 11 of the set, 12 Baskets Full. Brother Ni talked about a believer in this age as a woman has three statuses, the widow, the woman, and the virgin. Brother Ni says, every Christian has the attitude of being a widow to the earth, to the world. Luke 18, verse 1, talks about this widow who came to the judge all the time and said, avenge me of my opponent. Brother Ni says, there is one thing that moved my heart so much, it is that as we live on in this world, we have the heart of a widow. I do not love the world, not because the world is not lovely, not because the Bible forbids me from loving the world. A Christian does not love the world, not because the world is empty, but that my Lord is crucified by people on in this world. So my heart is that of a widow. Wherever your beloved is, That is a lovely place. He is no longer here. So my heart is the heart of a widow. This world is just empty to me. We are not drawn by the world, not because the world is not lovely. To enjoy good food, good clothing is good. Yet, if our heart is captured by the one whom we love, these things do not mean anything to us because he is not here. So, my world has become empty. I do believe as we walk on this earth, as we live among the crowds of people, we often feel that the Lord is not here. He has been crucified by this world. He has been forsaken by this world. Therefore, I hate this world. This world has become tasteless to me because he is not here. Because he is not here, so our heart, as the heart of a widow, does not care about eating and clothing and these things of the world. These things are tasteless to me, not because the things of the world are not lovely, but because I do not have the heart for such things. Brother Ni said, in the midst of large crowds of people, I feel so lonely because he is not here. He was killed in this world. What is left is just a cross and an empty tomb. My Lord, my beloved has died. So I am a widow. It is not that the world is not good or not lovely. It is altogether because he is not here, brothers and sisters. We are indeed standing on the in the status of a widow. So the world becomes not lovely to us. In Luke 18, it says, there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, avenge me of my opponent. This is our situation in this world. We are a widow being mistreated by people. Brothers and sisters, after hearing these words, how do you feel? We do not have any hope on this world. This world is altogether tasteless to us. Our unique pursuit and desire is for Christ himself. Our only hope, only expectation, what we wait for is the Lord's coming and his appearing. May the Lord gain every one of us so that we have the heart of a widow to this world because our husband is not here. Do you amen? I want to read another portion from the ministry. On the crucial truths of the Bible, subject 60, about the Lord's coming. How should the believers be concerning the Lord's coming? One, be watchful. Be prepared. Number two, to await. We await our Savior from heaven. Number three, to love. We love His appearing. As soon as we wait for His coming, we will definitely love His coming. Our heart's desire should be always yearning for His appearing. Our heart should ascend from this earth to go up to be with the Lord. The earlier apostles were like this. We know that Sister M.E. Barber was like this. They all lived in the light of the Lord's coming. Their heart is not entangled by anything in this world. They are all together awaiting the Lord's coming, loving the Lord's coming. So they are overcomers. Number four. Whoever has this hope in Him will cleanse himself as He is clean. If we wait for the Lord's coming, we love His appearing, we need to cleanse ourselves as the Lord is clean Himself, so that we will have all boldness in His coming and will not be put to shame. For this, we need to purify ourselves as the Lord is pure, so that we can see Him face to face and be transfigured into His glorious image. Number five, we need to have this cry out that, Lord Jesus, come quickly. This is the last prayer in the Bible, and it is the last desire of man toward the Lord, and the last expression of one's attitude toward the Lord. Such a heart, such an expression, such an attitude is what a lover of the Lord should have. May our heart's desire is for the Lord to come. Our attitude be toward His coming. May we, out of a longing heart, with a strong determination, pray, Lord, come quickly. We come back to the outline, capital B. If we are waiting for the Lord to come, we should be those who love His appearing. C, the Lord's appearing, His coming back, is a warning, an encouragement, and an incentive to us. Small one, we should love the Lord's appearing and look forward to it with earnest expectation and joy. Two, we should have a living that loves the Lord's appearing. This causes us not to be discouraged, but to remain faithful to the end. I do believe that if we all are those who love the Lord's appearing, we love His appearing on that day, we will also love His appearing today. If we love His full appearing and our appearing with Him in glory, today we will love His appearing in our spirit. We will also love His appearing today in the meeting. Brothers and sisters, may the Lord gain us to be ones who love His appearing. Then we will not be discouraged. Rather, we will remain faithful to the end. Roman numeral 2. Let us read together. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. Capital A. The world is an evil system, arranged systematically by Satan. In 1 John, we see that this epistle is on the fellowship of the divine life and the divine anointing for the full manifestation of the divine life. in 1 John, in the first section of 1 John, John reminded us that what this breaks the fellowship is our sin and sins. And in the second section, what damages the fellowship in life and the building of the body is the world. The world is drawing us every day, drawing those who according to their lust, love the things of this world, especially the young people. We need to be careful. Small one, God created man to live on the earth for the fulfillment of his purpose. But his enemy Satan, in order to usurp the God-created man, formed an anti-God world system on this earth by systematizing people with culture, education, industry, commerce, entertainment, and religion. Two, all the things on the earth, especially those related to mankind, and all the things in the air, have been systematized by Satan into his kingdom of darkness, to occupy people and frustrate them from accomplishing the purpose of God and to distract them from the enjoyment of God. These two points are from a very detailed footnote concerning the formation of the system of the world. God's enemy Satan, in order to usurp the God created man, first of all, he made use of the fallen nature of man. We all have the fallen nature. Satan made use of the fallen nature of man with the lust, the love for pressure, and all these indulgence in the matters related to the human living. He used all these eight items, culture, education, industry, commerce, entertainment, and religion, are these six items, to form a anti-God world system. This world system, the purpose of this world system is mainly to frustrate man from accomplishing the purpose of God and to distract them from the enjoyment of God. Brothers and sisters, may the Lord give us a keen discernment concerning the world. If we love his appearing, we will not love this world, and we should not love this world, because this world will always usurp and occupy us and frustrate us from living the church life to express God. It will frustrate our enjoyment of God. Don't you, amen? Haven't you discovered that as soon as you have a little love for the world, sometimes you just look at your cell phone, you are a little careless, and the devil is there. The world comes out of that, and you are defiled. And your fellowship with the Lord, your love for the Lord is cut off. But when we talk about the world, we need to know one thing. Yes, there are many worldly things that are manifestly worldly. Yet there are also other things that are more subtle. For example, some people purchase a house for their need. in order that they can open up their home to receive the saints. Yet there are some who buy a house in order to show off. This is the vain glory of this life. The same thing. It's not the world to certain ones. These can even be used for the Lord. But to others, the same thing might be the world. Because when John talks about not loving the world, when he talks about all that is in the world, he did not list the nightclubs, the evil places. He talks about our very being. He said, what are the things that is in the world? He mentioned three items. The lust of the flesh. Don't you have the lust of the flesh? Second, the lust of the eyes. Third, the vain glory of life. All of these are the contents of the satanic system. Because within us, there is the world. We have the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the vain glory of life. Therefore, many things just cause us to have a development that we are indulged in the world. So when you see somebody doing something, you should not right away condemn him and saying that is the world. Maybe you love the world more than him. Because the world, the satanic system is just within us. So we need to pray for the Lord's mercy. Point small three, the world is against God the Father. The things in the world are against the will of God, and those who love the world are enemies of God. Concerning not loving the world, if you don't have the discernment, you can just check whether something causes you to lose your love for the Lord. That is the world. Whatever causes you, your fellowship with the Lord to be terminated, it is the world. You don't have to ask if something is the world or not the world. Whenever the Lord gives you the feeling in your spirit that you are deadened, that your fellowship with Him is broken, your love for the Father is terminated or has become cold, right away, you know, Lord, I need to turn back. We need to cry, Lord Jesus, I love you. At a certain time, I love to tell the Lord, Lord, I still love you. That means even though I have fallen with love with something else, I have committed fornication, but now I turn back to you. I still love you. B, the whole world, the satanic system, lies in the evil one, small one. The whole world comprises the satanic world system and the people of the world, the fallen human race. And the word lies means remaining passively in the sphere of the evil one's usurpation and manipulation. The whole world and the people of the world are lying passively under the usurping and manipulating hand of Satan, the evil one. The Greek word rendered evil in 1 John 5:19 refers to one who is pernicious, harmfully evil, one who affects others, influencing them to be evil and vicious. That is very true, brothers and sisters. the entire satanic system is pernicious. It has an evil element. God is dispensing himself, and Satan is also dispensing his poisonous element. You just open up a little to him, and that is dispensing to you. Such an evil one is Satan, the devil, in whom the whole world lies. Capital C. Satan is utilizing the material world and the things that are in the world to eventually, listen, head everything up in the kingdom of Antichrist. We see that the world is like a well-established university with all kinds of departments. You have the fashion department, you have the restaurant department, the cars department, everything related to the human life has become a system. And industry, commerce, man is pursuing in these aspects. Yet the whole advancement of the world is ultimately to develop into the Antichrist and his kingdom. At that hour, the world system will have reached its zenith, and every unit of it will be revealed to be anti-Christian. Amen? We need to be watchful, to be warned. May the Lord open our eyes and capture our hearts. We need to tell the Lord, Lord, whatever would cause me to lose my love for you will reduce my love for you. I don't want. Lord, I don't love this world. Roman numeral 3. We need to look at this matter in a more experiential way. Loving the Lord's appearing is in contrast to loving the present age. A. An age is a part, a section, or an aspect of the world system of Satan, which is used by him to usurp and occupy people and keep them away from God and his purpose. We need to know that the enemy is working in this age, which is the present part, present section of the world system. It is called the age, an age. In English, it is modern. Today, the people of the world all seek after these modern things. In the matter of being modern, everyone is very actively. All people on this earth are pursuing to become more advanced than others, that is, to become more modern than others. B. In 2 Timothy 4:10, the present age refers to the world that surrounds, attracts, and tempts us. We cannot contact the world unless we contact the present age of the world. C. Demons love the present age. Due to the attraction of the present age, he forsook the Apostle Paul. Brothers and sisters, whenever I read this verse, I always feel confused. Demas was Paul's co-worker. He must have seen the same vision that Paul saw. He must have been on the same way and spoke the same thing with Paul. He must be one who loved the Lord more than others. He must be one who had serve the Lord wholeheartedly, yet he had loved the present age and abandoned Paul. What is this? How is loving the present age related to abandoning the Apostle Paul? Brothers and sisters, how do you feel about this? You have to firstly say amen. Even a co-worker of Paul, so spiritual, all of a sudden, he changed. Brother Lee said, man will change. Brothers and sisters, do not have too much confidence in yourself. You might love the Lord yesterday. Today, you might love the present age. Once you love the present age, what is serious is that you will abandon the ministry of the age. You will abandon the Lord's ministry. What is the relationship between the two? Let us read point D. In Romans 12:2, Paul exhorts us to not be a fashion according to this age, but to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. We need to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Small one. This age, in verse 2, denotes the present practical part of the world. Underline the following clause, which stands in opposition to the body life and replaces the body life. Brothers and sisters, this is the serious aspect of this matter. Demas loved the present age and abandoned, gave up the church life, gave up the building of the body, and he took his own way. So he abandoned the Apostle Paul. In Romans 12, Paul reminded us that in order to live the church life, to participate in the building of the church, to fulfill God's will, we need to firstly consecrate our bodies. Brothers and sisters, tonight you have come here, you have consecrated your bodies. Will you come again tomorrow? Amen. 2023. All of the brothers and sisters should present the bodies to the in-person meetings. Amen. We live in our bodies. If your body is sitting in this meeting, your person will be in the meeting. You should not say, oh, I'm too busy, I can't come to the meetings, but my spirit is with you. This is not so true. No matter how busy you are, you have to come to the meeting. Amen? Brother Lee says, as soon as you come to the meeting, even if you are sleeping throughout the meeting, you are still being blessed. Because maybe the last 5 minutes of the meeting, you will gain Christ. Amen. Second, be renewed in the mind. You should not just sit in a meeting and, sorry, allow me to say this. I'm afraid many who are sitting in a meeting, yet they are watching the news from their handheld device and listen to heaven and listen to the earth at the same time. What does that mean? That means that we are just being fashioned according to this age. We need to be transformed by the renewing of the mind, especially the young adults. It's so easy for us to have 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the church. You want both. The result is that you lose everything. young adults. It's true that you have the necessities of life, but remember the Lord Jesus said, you just seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all that you need for your daily life will be given to you. Yes, the Lord will take care of your needs. You must seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. For this, we need to be continually renewed in our mind. May the Lord gain us in this way. Small point two, to be fashioned according to this age means to adopt the modern fashions of the present age. To be transformed is to allow an organic element to be wrought into our being, thus producing an inward metabolic change. We all need to desire to grow in life every day, to be transformed every day. Lord, fill me every day, renew my mind, and cause me to be transformed so that I will have this long-lasting desire to be built up in the body. Three, because the present age opposes the church, which is God's will, we must not be fashioned according to it. For if we are to live in the body of Christ, we should not follow the present age or be fashioned according to this age or conform to it. Capital E. If we love the present age, we will take sides with the world. Let's read the next part together. If we love the Lord's appearing, we will take sides with Him and fight with Him for His interests. Oh, how we need to pray for the young people, for the young adults in the church life. May the Lord gain them to take sides with the Lord and fight with Him for His interests. The Lord's recovery needs young people, but the young people need to rise up to love the Lord's appearing and not love the present age. Let's read Roman numeral 4. Those who love the Lord, wait for His coming and love His appearing, will overcome. Let's read once again. Those who love the Lord, wait for His coming, and love His appearing, will overcome. We will overcome as soon as we love Him. No matter how much function is manifested in the body, as soon as we love the Lord and love His appearing, we will be among the overcomers. A, loving the Lord's appearing is a proof that we love the Lord and live for Him today. Hence, it also becomes a condition for us to receive His reward. I want to read with you hymn number 960 in the English hymnal. I really love this hymn and I am deeply moved by it. It was a hymn written by Watchman Nee. There is a condition in his heart that I can never attain to. Stanza 1. My King will soon come back again. The sky be filled with Him. Oh, the sky be filled with Him. In Brother Nee's sensation, our Lord has already come from the throne to the air. Of course, according to the truth, this has not transpired. But in his aspiration, He has already seen the sky being filled with Him. Don't you see? The universe to be redeemed will see His light therein. In Chinese, it says, the universe will soon see His salvation fulfilled. The Lord will soon fulfill His plan. His footsteps now I hear. Brother Nee, he loved and yearned for the Lord's coming so much that he can even hear the Lord's footsteps. His glorious frame I faintly see beginning to appear. brothers and sisters, this is Brother Ni's earnest expectation. Stanza 2. I'm longing for his presence blessed. This presence is his parousia. And dare not slothful be. While waiting for my Lord's return, his only dear self to see. This highest hope that Brother Ni has to attain to is not just heaven. It is just the dear Lord himself. My only hope that he may come and change my faith to sight. There is no other joy on earth which gives my heart delight. Then he speaks about the exercise of his entire being. My heart is always with himself. My eyes are heavenward. My lips would utter nothing else than meeting with my Lord. How about this? How many subjects would you utter about? Brother Ni has only one subject to utter, that is meeting with his Lord. That is why he can maintain his joy in his 20 years of imprisonment. The coming of the Lord draws nigh. His coming is for me. His promise ever standeth firm, and soon fulfilled I'll see. This is his relationship with the Lord. Stanza 4. My Savior, all thy holy words can never doubted be. With them, encouraged day by day, I'm faithful unto thee. Your holy word reminds me of two things. Oh, may thy glory soon appear, the foe be overthrown. Thy promises be realized, and we brought to thy throne. Not just I, but we be brought to thy throne. We be brought to his presence. He saw the body. It is the entire body of Christ, his universal bride, that is earnestly desiring his coming. Stanza 5. Thy saving arm a refuge is, my Savior God to me. Thou as the Father keepest them who put their trust in thee. The sheep, which is us, and the shepherd, which is the Lord, are of one, the head and body same. None e'er can pluck from out thy hand the child who trusts thy name. We do have this assurance, this guarantee. Stanza 6. This is his attitude. 1,000 hands won't hinder me, nor will 10,000 eyes. The thorns upon the world, but help me onward to the prize. Arise my spirit and my heart, and let the world go by. The Lord of life will take me soon to be with him on high. That is to take me into his presence. Stanza 7 is for the nations. Thou healing sun, thou hope of man, I really love thy ray. O righteous Lord, O glorious King, I bow to thee and pray. This is my prayer. O, may thou soon ascend thy throne, and quickly show thy face. Thy heavenly kingdom may thou found, and grant all men thy grace, that the remnant of the nations will be revived. Stanza 8. The truth should triumph and be king, and freedom should be queen. But falsehood, which has rampant run, head of the world is seen. We ask thee, truth, to quickly come, and bring thy light from heaven. The foe be crushed, and all thy sons into thy bosom given. The new Jerusalem will become manifest. brothers and sisters, I treasure this hymn, not just this one, but a few more others. If we have the time, we should sing these hymns so that we will be stirred up by the early saints' love for the Lord's coming, so that there will be a drastic change in our life and work, so that our heart is always with Him, our eyes are heavenward, our lips would utter nothing else than meeting with our Lord. Let's come back to the last 2 points on the outline. B, to love the Lord's appearing does not mean that we should not live a normal life. Rather, the more we love His appearing, the more we need to live a normal life today. Amen. We still need to work in the field, grind the mill. Yet we have the regular experience of the miraculous normality in a most normal life. In the most regular life, we pursue His appearing every day. Amen. C. Let us stand and read together the last point on this outline, which is today's key statement. As those who love the Lord Jesus, take Him as our life, listen, and magnify Him, we should await His coming and love His appearing. This should be our heart's desire and our living as those who hope to enter into His joy, be saved into the Lord's heavenly kingdom, and receive the crown of righteousness.